When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Sebastian Michaelis is head of tea for the international division of Tata Consumer Products. A renowned tea expert with a 20-year career in the tea trade, he has spent a significant portion of his career based in Kenya, Malawi, and India. He oversees sourcing of the supply chain and product development at the Tetley brand. He has worked extensively with the Ethical Tea Partnership, Reinforced Alliance, and other collaborators to support a thriving, socially just, and environmentally sustainable tea sector, emphasizing sustainable sourcing and responsible tea practices. We last saw each other at the Global Tea Conference in Sri Lanka last summer. It's nice to reconnect.
Good to see you too.
When did you decide to pursue tea tasting as a professional skill?
I joined Tetley back in 2005. I say Tetley, we're Tata Consumer Products, but when I joined it was Tetley, and that's the main brand that I'm kind of responsible for. I'd just graduated from university, so I'd studied philosophy at the University of Sussex in Brighton in the UK, and I wasn't really sure what career I wanted to pursue, but I did know I wanted to do something a bit different. I mean, studying philosophy, obviously, it wasn't exactly a career-focused degree. I think it gets a bit of a bad rap as a subject, but actually it's helped me tremendously in my tea career because it teaches you critical thinking, looking at the bigger picture, interpreting complex problems. And these are kind of all skills that are very useful in supply chain, especially. So, yeah, a friend of mine spotted an advert for a tea taster, which simply said, do you like tea? Do you like to travel? And do you have a degree? And knowing that I wanted a slightly unconventional job, my friend sent it to me and I applied. And the process involved several telephone interviews and a two-day assessment center. And I was pitched up against, I think, 11 or 12 other candidates. And I was lucky enough to be offered the trainee role, along with Paul Jeffries, who works at Finley's now. And the trainee scheme, it requires you to taste hundreds of teas every week to build up your palate, learning the ropes of buying and blending, spending about a year abroad in different tea origins, visiting tea estates, going to the auction. And it takes about 5-6 years typically to graduate. I feel enormously privileged that I managed to secure the role. I think it's the best training for a tea taster in the world. So I'm sure there'll be others who contest it, but you'll find ex-Tetley people in tea companies around the world because of the intense training and exposure to different types of teas, because obviously a large part of our portfolio is tea bag, the CTC teas, but we have so many different products around the world, which is everything from a tea bag tea to your more artisanal loose leaf type teas. So we get exposure to everything, which is wonderful. You know, it's about the best part of the job.
Interestingly, they were not looking for super tasters. Why is that?
In fact, the only physical constraint, which was part of the interview process, was I actually had to do a colorblindness test. And there was, in fact, one person on our panel of candidates who sadly was colorblind and wasn't aware of that constraint because the visual is so important. Anyone can taste. Ultimately, you have to have some sort of physical ability. In fact, you don't even, as you say, don't have to be a super taster in the sense of the number of taste buds you have. And actually, I've read in certain papers that being a super taster can be sometimes a hindrance because your you're having too much stimulation. And what tasting is about is association. It's a language, ultimately. It's about being able to put a word to a particular sensation that you're getting, in the same way that with vision, you're able to identify colors. And, you know, someone who studies maps, they can spot things better. Or people who go foraging for mushrooms, they can pick it out better because they train their brain that particular way. So it's about experience. And that's what I was, you know, privileged to have within Tetley. Is I was tasting, I still do, but when I first started tasting, you know, hundreds of teas a day, and your brain just slowly tunes in to the language being used by the expert taster. And over time, you learn that vocabulary. You just need to taste a lot of tea, which I don't mind. It's good fun.
What other life experiences have you found helpful?
I've traveled quite a lot. And I think a large part of the role being a buyer as well is being adaptable to different cultures. You know, it's a relationship business. It's a business which you... knowing the producer, knowing the circumstances on the ground makes such a big difference. And being able to be able to empathize with challenges, you know, it's a long game. People stay in tea for decades. So you have to build those relationships in order to be able to really get the right teas that you need, obviously at the right price and whatever else. I've got a bit of a mixed Mongol background in that my mother's Polish and my dad's Dutch, and we've got Russian family and we've got German family. And so I've always been very transient in my youth. So I think that was part of it, really.
Are there some teas or tea styles that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, I like that you asked it that way. People always say, what's your favorite tea? Which is the typical question. But obviously, as you know, the great thing about tea is the choice. And I wouldn't ever be able to say, like, it's, you know, this is the one tea I always drink. The ones that resonate, Angie White is, Angie Bai Cha is one that I absolutely adore. And it's, for those who aren't familiar, it's, you know, it's not a white tea, it's a green tea, but it's kind of gets its name from the very light. It looks almost like the inside of a cucumber, you know, that kind of light green cup and hue. Although it's quite a light cup, it's such an intense flavor, a sweetness to it, which I absolutely adore. Another one that really resonates, I was very lucky when I went to visit Wuyi Mountains, I tried a really authentic Lapsang Bui, which is kind of the precursor for Lapsang Souchongs, but the Buis are much lighter. I'm not a big smoky tea fan, but it tastes very, very nice, intense, earthy flavor. The tea I drink the most of is probably a blend of East of Rift, KCDAs, Kenyan teas, Rwandans, Assams, you know, what we'd call in the UK a builder's brew. Something which is kind of what you'd have as a chai in India. I love the great thing about tea is you've got the choices of times of days when you drink them. For me, that's my espresso in the morning. You know, it's a strong cup of black tea with milk, which to some tea professionals, you know, can be a bit snobby about it. But for me, a black CTCT, it's a completely different product to a more artisanal green tea from China or Japan, for instance, and they serve different needs. So I love them all. So I say those are three that I can pick out as kind of that resonate, I suppose.
Are there teas that you're better at describing as a category or class, even if they're not your personal favorites?
Perhaps the best way to answer it is to describe, if you don't mind me, to describe a bit how we taste tea or how I've learned to taste tea. So when I joined Tetley, I think a year before, introduced a new tasting language, which we call Uhuru, which in Swahili means freedom. And that's exactly what it does. It gives you this freedom to be able to classify teas in a very specific way. So we grade teas, and this is black teas, I should add. We have a separate language for green, but we grade black teas using four parameters, which are zing, color, sparkle, and body. And slightly funny words, but zing is the overall impact the tea has on your palate when you first slurp. And it's the intensity of it and how quickly it goes away when you spit it out. And the way that I try and describe it is you can get a quite a low-quality tea, or low-zing tea, as we would classify it, and brew it very strong, but it would still be low-zing. I won't name any names just not to offend any countries, but a high-zing tea, you know, a high-grown Rwandan tea, for instance, that flavor lasts and it stays there for a long time. A lot of our consumers drink with milk because we do a lot of blends for the UK and for Canada, the US, Middle East as well. It's anything from the very reds, purplish reds, which you can get from Malawi, up for your oranges and yellows, very yellows. And color is important for us because a lot of our consumers like a strong cup of tea, and color in the liquor is kind of what denotes how much it's brewed. Mm-hmm. And then we have sparkle, which is the purity of that color. So the way to think about it is you can imagine a brand new red car that's come out of the shop floor. You know, it sparkles. It's kind of brand new versus one that's been on the dusty road for a few weeks. It's the dullness versus brightness, really, of the liquor, which, you know, you kind of look at and you can see it on the rim where the tea meets the crockery. You can see the kind of purity of color. And obviously, higher sparkle teas tend to be better zing. They tend to be better quality. And the fourth parameter is body, which self-explanatory is the thickness, the viscosity of the tea, which for us brings that roundness in the cup. So we grade teas on those four parameters on a scale of anywhere between 1 to 40. So we can very precisely put a number to it, which what that enables us to do is, it's quite simple in a way. If you have a tea which is a 10 for color and another which is 30 for color, and you blend them 50-50, then the result will be a 20 for color. So this enables us to be able to not only classify teas very precisely, but also speak the language with everyone who knows this language. So we have an office in Kenya and Malawi, and we have a shorthand for our different components, as we call them. So I could say to our office that the 4FY44BRA was a bit dull, and then they'll know what that means, and then they can adjust what teas are being purchased, that sort of thing.
So your objective is consistency, right?
Exactly, and that's why I've got a job, which is great, because, you know, it's the very nature of tea that it's obviously inconsistent, and it's not, you know, whilst coffee has its variety, they're obviously able to classify it, let's say, in an easier way into certain buckets, and therefore have futures markets and things like that. Obviously, tea varies depending on the weather, depending on the factory manager that day, depending on the humidity. I think the language serves two purposes. One, it's to get the best out of the teas that we're putting into a blend. So we buy the Assam teas for the body, for the gutsiness, for the maltiness. We buy the Kenyan teas for the hardness, for that slight astringency that can lift the blend. So it's about getting the best out of the different origins, which that language allows us to do. And as you say, to get that consistency. And it allows us to, you can pick up a packet of Tetley today and another one tomorrow, and it'll taste exactly the same, but the actual constituent parts will vary. Not hugely, obviously, but within a certain parameter. So yeah, that's really the role is the consumer has an expectation of the brand, and we're trying to make sure that they feel like, yeah, it's always the same.
It's the consumers who are inconsistent, right?
It's a quandary for us in a way, because you're absolutely right. People want that they drink their tea in different ways, you know, and there'll be some people who put a tea bag in water for 10 seconds and throw it out. Others who go for more artisanal teas. Everyone's got their tastes, and, you know, we're not there to tell them what is right or wrong. We're there to serve kind of how they brew their tea. The trouble is, though, when you talk to consumers and you try and do consumer research and say, do you prefer that one or that one or that one? Right. And obviously, a lot of it can be nuanced. It's very hard for people to articulate it because they're not used to the language. They're not used to identifying it in the same way a tea taster would. So trying to hone down to what a consumer actually likes, not impossible, but actually very challenging. But they know what they like, and if there's a change, they notice change. And that's, again, our senses are built around that. It's about noticing, what's moved, what's different. They don't know why it's wrong or what's happened, but they know something's not quite right, and that's why we have to protect kind of the blend.
I'm sure our listeners found this very helpful.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.